Let us pray. We praise thee, our Father, for the gift of eternal life, for the opportunity to study and to teach on this campus, and for thy servants who have come to share with us the insights of their minds today. Through all of the influences and resources available to us, may we grow in the grace as well as in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us. In thy presence, we remember those who are in distress today. We remember that in thee we find forgiveness of sin, and through the power that comes from thee, the healing of disease. We pray for those who stand at very difficult places in the nation and in the world, that they may have clarity of purpose, sincerity of mind, and interior strength. We pray especially for those who bear a Christian witness and perform Christian deeds in lonely places, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are very happy to have as our guests today Dr. and Mrs. Herbert Caudle. Dr. Caudle is a native of Virginia. He earned the BA degree and the MA degree at Mercer University and the THM degree at the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has carried forward a very fruitful ministry as a missionary under appointment of the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. His ministry for the past 40 years has been mainly in Cuba. He was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Havana. He taught in the Baptist Seminary at Havana. And for a number of years, he was superintendent of Southern Baptist Home Mission work in Cuba, as most of you know. We remember also that he, along with his missionary son-in-law, David Feit, an alumnus of this school, was arrested in Cuba on April 8, 1965. He was given a 10-year sentence, and David Feit, his son-in-law, was given a 6-year sentence. After much suffering, including the pain that comes with the awareness of the loss of freedom, they were released from prison and were permitted to return to the United States. I believe that they arrived in this country on February 7 of this year. I had the great pleasure of hearing these friends at Glorieta in New Mexico in early August, and I was very hopeful that all of our seminary family might have an opportunity to meet them and to hear them. First of all, I should like to present Mrs. Caudle. I believe she's a native of Mississippi. She also is a graduate of Mercer University. And for most of these 40 years, she has stood as the wife of Dr. Caudle. She has taught Latin, she has taught English, she has taught music. She is indeed a teacher. And through these disciplines and in many other ways, she has taught the Christian way of life. Mrs. Caudle, will you bring us a word of greeting?
It is an inspiration to stand before this group this morning, people who are dedicated to the Lord's service. Seminary students are very close to my heart. We were living in the seminary, in an apartment in the seminary, when my husband and son-in-law were arrested. And I don't know how I could have stood it without the help and inspiration of those seminary students. They stood by me and helped me in every moment of crisis. And anything that they thought I needed, they were right there. How we do admire our seminary students in Cuba today. After our crisis, it looked for a while like the work could not go on. More than half of our leaders were in prison. And all but five of our seminary professors were in prison. But we went forward. At the time of the arrest, the seminary students were preparing an Easter cantata to sing in our convention. And the name of that cantata was Victory Divine. Now, how could our seminary students, with most of their professors in prison, and a sword hanging over their heads, knowing that the same thing could happen to them at any time, how could they sing about victory? We got permission to hold our convention at a later date, several months later, and we sang our cantata, Victory Divine. And it seems to me that I can hear those seminary students singing that song today, or that cantata, because they meant it. God's children in Cuba are singing in the midst of their anguish and suffering, and they're being purified. They are singing of victory through suffering. And we hope that you will pray for them, because it's a sifting process, and they are coming out purer and firmer in their convictions. And we believe that God is going to make out of his children in Cuba today a great group of strong, deeply rooted Christians that will carry forward the banner of Christianity in the midst of all of their difficulties. And we hope that God will bless you in the great challenge that you have before you here in the United States. What a tremendous challenge this nation presents today. We see it more and more as we penetrate into life in the United States during these months. And we will be praying for each of you that you will serve him wherever and however God needs you most. Thank you, and God bless you.
We are very grateful to you, Mrs. Caudle, for these words, and we are grateful for the good sense and the goodwill with which all members of these two families conducted themselves while Dr. Caudle and David Feit were in prison. We tried to move with great restraint here. The Home Mission Board in Atlanta moved with great restraint in order that we might not be a liability but an asset to these friends while they were in prison. And I have been very much impressed with the way they have thought of those who remained in prison after they were released. We shall hear reverently Dr. Caudle as he speaks to us now.
Mr. President, members of the faculty and student body of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Lord stood by us in the midst of all of our trials. Many passages from the Word of God were quite significant to me as I faced the problems that came during imprisonment, prior to imprisonment, and after release. And I might say that still, there are a good part of the 10 years hanging over me that they sentenced me. On the day of my release, I was reminded that I still had the 10 years pending, and that while I was given conditional liberty, at any time the hand of the state might be turned against me. But the word of the Lord means a great deal, and I thought of the words that we have in the book of Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto these people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee, and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. And then we have the words of Paul in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, which I think applies to all who love the Lord. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Three things stand out in this passage for you this morning, it seems to me. Let no man despise thy youth. In the communities where you serve as pastor now, you are the pastor of the flock. Therefore, you shall live in such a way that Christ may be exemplified in you. One of the things that I have observed through the years of men who were with me in the university, those who were with me in the seminary, that we need to think of these words here, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Some students have a wonderful gift, but unless that gift is cared for and the proper study is exercised, what is very becoming in a young man in his 20s is not becoming in a man in his 40s. So we need to care and exercise and use that gift that we have that we may grow. And then today, as every day, we need to take heed to ourselves and the doctrine. During these 40 years of missionary service in Cuba, two groups have meant a great deal to me. One, and in a special way, this is important, has been that group of young men preparing themselves for the ministry and mission service. We have felt a very close connection through the years with about 250 young men and women who felt the call of the Lord to serve in His name. And then through these years, the fellowship with the pastors of our churches in Cuba. I tried from the very beginning, when I was a young man in the service there, to relate myself with the older men in the ministry. And through the years, they have been choice friends and fellow workers. And then also, as a men who were my students in the seminary in Havana became pastors working along together. We rejoiced in that fellowship through the years. And I think that we as pastors and ministerial students need to think on that great body of Christians, the members of our churches, who without remuneration in the sense that the pastor expects and receives remuneration from his flock. Serve the Lord through the years in the various organizations of the church. I served as pastor in a field of churches just a very short time before going to Cuba in 1929. And the other day, going from Savannah, Georgia to Atlanta, my wife and I stopped in a home in the community where I had served. And there we found a man and his wife who have had their home in that community for 52 years. And during many years, she served as president of the Missionary Society of her church. They've lived in a humble way through the years. But that family has meant a great deal to that community. The son is serving today as the editor of one of our Baptist papers. And so we must not fail to recognize the importance of these people to whom we minister day by day. As I think of our ministers, two things stand out. He who would serve the Lord must be a converted person, one who has come to know the Lord face to face. Not only must he have had an experience of a change in his life and attitude, but he must also feel called of God. Two things may be mentioned that come out in that call that we receive from the Lord. When Jesus called his disciples, the first ones, he said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." And as a great apostle to the Gentiles was called, he was told, "I will make you a light to the Gentiles." The Lord has a special mission for each one of us to perform. When one begins his ministry, it is not possible for him to know where the Lord may lead him or under what circumstances he may work. As superintendent of our Baptist work in Western Cuba for about 18 years, I had the responsibility of helping our men in many ways. Some men having a problem to arise on their field suddenly felt a call to some other field. I believe that when the Lord calls us into a field and the problems arise, it is a privilege to seek to the very best of our ability with the help of the Lord to solve those problems. We do not resolve our difficulties by running away from them. And it seems to me that those who are going out as pastors of our churches in this present day perhaps have a series of problems that were not so prevalent 40 or 45 years ago. Times have changed, but we still have to deal with the problem of sin. There is no easy place in the ministry of our Lord. One thing that causes us to rejoice greatly at this time is the news that young people still feel called to the Lord's service in Cuba. We have the case of one of the young men whose father is now serving a prison sentence of 12 years, I believe it is, in Cuba. His son felt the call to the ministry when he was quite young. The parents had hoped that he might be able to leave the country before he was 15 years of age because of the fact that otherwise he would have to be subject to military service. But when all of their efforts failed to give for him to get the permission to leave the country before his 15th birthday, as the time drew near and he saw that he must remain in Cuba, he said, "The call of the Lord has come to me, and now I know that the Lord is calling me to serve in Cuba." A new generation of pastors is rising up in Cuba at this time. They've been brought up under communism. They've had to study with communist teachers and in such circumstances. But they feel that the Lord is calling them into the ministry. And we believe that this young man, Samuel, now about 17 years of age, will be faithful to the Lord when the time comes for him to enter the seminary. Another of our young men, Luciano, a little older than Samuel, felt the call also to the ministry. They have in Cuba, or had a few years ago, what they call the UMAP. It was a kind of a work service in substitution for military service. And since they feel that a ministerial student, or a Christian for that matter, is not apt to serve in the communist army, they put our Christian young people in this service, or in this place where they have to go out on the work farms and serve up to 3 years. And so this young man, Luciano, said, "Our seminary now is a matter of 7 years, 3 years on a work farm in which we demonstrate our fidelity and loyalty to the Lord, and 4 years in the seminary." A man, a woman who wishes to dedicate his life to the Lord in Cuba at this present time must recognize that he has to do it under present conditions there. A few years ago, a young man by the name of Jose finished his work in the seminary. And even before he had finished his studies, he said, "I am assuming that this system of government that we have in Cuba is going to continue for a long time. But the Lord has called me to serve him. And therefore, I am preparing myself to serve the Lord as a Christian pastor under the social conditions and other conditions of this day in which we live." They are completely aware of the difficulties that are theirs as they try to serve the Lord with all faithfulness. We have seen up to this time, or the time of our leaving Cuba, more than 20 of our fellow pastors who had served prison sentences. But when they were placed, most of them in conditional liberty, again, they returned to their fields of service or to other churches and are faithfully preaching the message that the Lord has given them. I'm thinking of one of the men who is in prison, separated from his wife. His children are in the States. But during his service, while I was with him, there in the Cabañas Fortress in Havana, He had a remarkable way of dealing with men. He knew just about all the men in the prison block where we were, about 200 men at any given time. And since changes were made from time to time and they were removed to other places, he became acquainted with a great number of people. But he continued to testify to these people that he knew. One day a friend whom he had known for a long time came to the block where we were, or rather to another block, but we were in the court of the prison one day. And this young man, George, a school teacher, told me, "I want you to pray for me." And there, in a milling mass of about 600 men, we stopped a moment, and there at once we had a prayer together. And that man evidently has grown in his Christian faith in that experience that he has had in prison. And this pastor that I mentioned gave out this word. We got it a few days ago. "I am now in the midst of one of the most profitable periods of my ministry." He began his ministry about 1947, so he has been working as a servant of the Lord for more than 20 years. And in a prison, he's serving the Lord. It was a great blessing to us the other day to receive word from our church that 11 people had been baptized. And among these 11 people was a young woman who was a fellow prisoner with two of our lady missionaries in one of the work farms in Cuba. And that farm, by the way, is America Libre, which means free America. But the missionaries and this lady and many other women were prisoners there. But this woman found the Lord in a prison in Cuba and has given testimony of her faith in Christ. The work of the Lord goes on. And because of changes round about us, we are not to become discouraged, but we preach the gospel of the unchanging Christ. Two passages from the Word of God mean a great deal to me. The closing words of the little book of Obadiah: "The kingdom shall be the Lord's." And then the words of Jesus: "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let us remember as we serve the Lord that he established the church, and we are to be faithful ministers serving our Lord. May we stand for the closing prayer. We thank thee, O Lord, for the privilege we have of serving thee. We thank thee for these splendid young men and women who have felt the hand of the Lord upon them, calling them into his special service. Be thou, O Lord, with the professors here in the seminary. Be with all of the students. Bless the work they're doing. We pray, Father, that thou wilt be with our Christian people in Cuba who are serving thee today and giving a living witness of the power of the gospel of our Lord in the lives of those who love him. We pray, Father, that thou wilt return with these men to their classes and help them as they study, that they may prepare themselves to be good ministers of Jesus Christ. Amen.